If you have your Bibles with you this morning, I invite you to turn in them to the Gospel of Matthew, to chapter 5, verse 38, and we'll read down from verse 38 through the end of the chapter. Jesus is speaking, and he says, "You have heard that it was said, eye for eye and tooth for tooth. But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to them the other cheek also. And if anyone wants to sue you and take your shirt, hand over your cloak as well. If anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with them 2 miles. Give to the one who asks you, and do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. He causes His sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your own people, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect." This is the Word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Excuse me. I invite you to pray with me. God, we thank you for the Scriptures. And we thank you for how you speak to us through them. And we invite you in these moments to illumine them by your Holy Spirit. We pray that your Spirit would be our teacher. And God, we pray that we would not learn just more about the content of the Scripture, but that we would be changed by you, that we would be transformed so that more and more who Jesus is would be evident in who we are and in how we live. And so we pray in the strong name of Jesus. Amen. You look like your family. There is a family resemblance. Which of your mother or your father, who do you look like the most? Who do you look like the most in your family? Okay, and Eberle Chin, like her dad, Mim says. Somebody else, who do you look like, your mother or your father?
My father.
Okay. Merle says, I look like my dad. Doug, what about you? Okay, my eyebrows are like my dad. They sort of meet in the middle there. Okay. Somebody else, who do you look like?
Fisher chin and kennel eyes.
Fisher chin and kennel eyes. Okay. Anybody else? You look like your grandmother. Okay. Somebody? Okay. Like your mom? Yeah. Nathan, who do you look like?
Myself.
Okay. Fair enough. Jesus talks in this passage about a likeness that we can grow to have so that we can be like God, so that in who we are and in how we live, we can resemble God. We can, in our character and in our actions, reflect a likeness with God, whom we know as our Heavenly Father. And so Jesus is saying, if you come and follow me, then one of the consequences of that is that your life is going to be reshaped, is going to be remade more and more into a likeness to God. Now, Jesus continues in this passage to talk about the the contrast that he's setting up with some Old Testament passages. And he starts out by quoting from the law of Moses, and he says, "You have heard that it was said, eye for eye and tooth for tooth." Now, for us, that sounds very violent. That sounds very extreme. If you are to, if you blind someone, then you yourself will be blinded. If you knock out somebody's tooth, you're going to have a tooth knocked out. But the original context of this in Moses' day was to limit revenge, to limit retaliation, because really what happens is, if there is no limit to retaliation, if there is no line that's set that's not, you're not to go over, then what happens is what starts out as a wounding becomes a killing. And then what goes on is you escalate into some sort of feud between families and clans, and people get killed right and left, and everything descends into a downward spiral of violence and revenge. And so even in the Old Testament law, there is this idea that there is a limit to retaliation. But then Jesus transforms that, and he says, do not resist an evil person. Now, I spent a lot of time this week living with those words, and those are hard words to hear. Those are hard words for us to respond to, that Jesus says when he says, do not resist an evil person. What does that mean for us? What does that call us to do? Does that call us to be passive in the face of evil? Does that call us to invite mistreatment, to invite abuse, to say, come on, do your worst to me. I don't care. I don't value myself at all. You can treat me however you want to treat me. That's okay. That's not what Jesus is saying. That's not what he intends. What he is saying is that we're not to repay evil for evil. We're not to repay evil for evil. That's different than being passive in the face of evil. That's different than just acquiescing in harm to ourselves or to someone else. That's not the same as saying, it doesn't matter how you treat me, it doesn't matter what you do to me. Jesus is saying that there is a better way than to get caught up in that cycle of revenge and retribution. There is a better way than to get caught up in that downward spiral of violence. And so Jesus says to us, we live in a world that is characterized by the continual mistreatment of people. We live in a world where there is so much violence. And Jesus says, there is a way to change that. There is a way to transform that. But the way out of that is not to participate in violence, but to stand against it, to overcome it by our behavior. And Jesus gives these three examples here in this passage of how we can respond to evil. We can respond to violence. He says, if anyone slaps you on the right cheek, offer to them the other one as well. Now, I won't get somebody up here to model this, but basically, if someone is slapping you on your right cheek, if you think about it, what they're doing is they're coming across your face with the back of their hand. That's the way that they're hitting you. And in Jesus' day, this was not so much an act of physical violence as it was a way of insulting another person and devaluing them and saying, look, you're nothing to me. And a lot of times when we talk about giving somebody the back of our hand, or we talk about backhanded treatment, what we mean is that we are treating that other person is being treated in a way that devalues them, that depersonalizes them, that says you're not worth anything, you're not significant, you're not of value. And so Jesus says that when you're treated that way, when somebody insults you like that, when somebody treats you like you're nothing, then what is your response? Your response is not to respond in kind. Your response is not to mistreat them in turn, but you simply offer them your other cheek. Now, what does that mean? That means that they have to treat you like an equal. If they're going to strike you again, they have to acknowledge your personhood. They have to hit you with their open hand, right? And that seems sort of strange to us that that's a way to respond to that. That's a way to turn that upside down. But Jesus is saying that even if people mistreat you, there is a way to respond that doesn't let them take your dignity away, that doesn't let them take your personhood away. Martin Luther King Jr. told a story about a time when he and his father were traveling together in an automobile, and they were pulled over by a policeman. And the policeman went and spoke to Dr. King's father and said to him, "Look, boy, I want you to tell me what you were doing in the car. I want you to tell me, give me your license, give me your registration, and justify your actions to me." And Dr. King says, "I remember that my father pointed to me and said, 'This is a boy. I am a man.'" And even when people are trying to devalue us, even when people, by the way that they treat us, are trying to rob us of our dignity, Jesus said that there is a way that we can respond that says to them, "I'm a person, and I'm not someone for you to mistreat. I'm not someone for you to abuse. I'm not someone for you to devalue. I'm made in the image of God. I'm a person of worth and value and significance." Be very sure that Jesus is not saying in this passage we should submit to or invite abuse from anyone. This is not saying that we should allow people to abuse us physically or verbally or emotionally. There's never any reason for that. It's always okay. It's always the right thing to do to make sure that you're not mistreated in that way. It's always the right thing to do to take yourself out of situations, to get help, get someone to intervene if you are being mistreated, if you are being abused. That's not what Jesus is saying in this situation. But rather, Jesus says that we are people of value and worth because God declares us to be people of value and worth, and so we should be treated in that way. And Jesus gives this other example. He says, if somebody is taking you to court to sue you for your shirt, give them your coat as well. The law of the Old Testament said that if you sued somebody and you took their inner garment, you couldn't take their outer garment because that was what a lot of poor people slept in. And so you had to make sure that they had that to sleep in. And Jesus is saying, look, if somebody is unjustly suing you, if somebody is harming you, if somebody is mistreating you, you can change the dynamic of that interaction. You can reverse the momentum of that situation simply by doing something that's unexpected. You say, look, you want my shirt? Well, take my coat as well. And that throws the other person off their ground. That throws the other person into a situation where they don't know what their next step is because you are reversing the emotional momentum in that situation. And also, the third example that Jesus gives where Roman soldiers had the ability to say to any of the Jews there in Israel, they could just say to them, look, you have to take my equipment and you have to carry it for the next mile. And what was very common among the Jewish people of that day was they knew how far a mile was. They would count out 1,000 paces and then they would drop the burden right where they were. And if it landed in a mud puddle, if it landed in dirt or something like that, that was all the better. You would sort of try and time it so that would happen. They didn't want to do any more than the minimum. One of the temptations in our world when people ask us to do things that we don't want to do, when people ask us to do things that we think are perhaps beneath us or demeaning or something like that, is we say, well, I'm going to do this, but I'm not going to be happy about it, right? I'm going to do this, but it's going to cost you something even to make me do this. I'm going to make life difficult for you even as I acquiesce in this request, even as I do what's expected of me. I'm going to make you wish that you hadn't asked me to do this. This could be a spouse asking you to do something that you don't want to do around the home. This could be someone at work inviting you to do a task that you feel ill-equipped for, or that feels like it's beneath you. This could be a parent asking a child to do something that they don't want to do. Jesus tells another story later on about two sons who are both asked by their father to do a task, and one of them says, "Sure, I'll do it," and then doesn't. And then the other one says, "No, I'm not going to do it," but then finally goes ahead and does it. So these requests come in different ways in our lives, but Jesus says, look, you don't have to be a victim. You don't have to be the person who's being put upon. You don't have to be the person who's being taken advantage of. You can change the dynamic of that by, instead of letting it be an imposition on you, instead of letting it be something that someone is doing to you to accomplish this task, change that by liberating yourself and by serving that other person. You want me to do this thing? Well, I'm going to do twice as much. You want me to do this task that's beneath me? Well, I'm going to do it like you've never seen it done before. I'm going to do an incredible job at this. You're going to be so glad that you asked me to do this. And it's going to actually make you feel a little bit bad because you thought that you were hurting me. You thought that you were doing something to me. But I'm turning out to be the one who gets to serve you. I'm turning out to be the one who gets to bless you. That rubs against the grain of us, doesn't it? That's hard to do. That's hard to treat other people well when they're treating us badly. But that's what Jesus not only invites us to do, but empowers us to do. Because Jesus doesn't ever ask us to do something that he doesn't enable us to do. And so when Jesus gives us this invitation to go that second mile, to do more than is expected of us, to serve those who would mistreat us, he says, look, I'm gonna empower you to do that. And I'm going to model that for you as well. Think about Jesus. Think about what he, that day when he was asked to carry some Roman equipment. And he didn't just carry it for a mile and drop it, did he? He carried that crossbar all the way to that hill of suffering. And he modeled for us that we can depend on God, that we can be empowered by God, and we can choose to serve rather than choose to be a victim. And so that's what he invites us to. And then he goes on and he makes it even more particular. He makes it even more specific. He says, you have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. Now, love your neighbor is a quotation from the Old Testament. And that's in the law of Moses. That's in the Old Testament scriptures. It never says in the Old Testament, hate your enemy. That was sort of the interpretation that had been put on those words by rabbis and by scribes. And they had said, well, you know, if God wants us to love our neighbors, then that must mean that God says it's okay to hate our enemies. It doesn't say that in the scripture. But Jesus says, but I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. This is hard. This is about as hard as it gets. I don't know if you've ever had anyone in your life who deliberately mistreated you, who seemed to want bad things to happen to you, who seemed to want bad outcomes for your life. It is very difficult in those circumstances. I know a little bit of what that's like. It is very difficult in those circumstances to wish someone well. It is very difficult in those circumstances to work for someone's good, but that's exactly what Jesus calls us to do. He says, look, it's not enough just to love the people that love you. He says, even people who don't know God do that. Tax collectors, pagans, people who live their lives apart from God, people who live self-directed lives, they can manage to return affection. They can manage to love back the people who love them. But Jesus says, this is what those who follow me are going to do. They're going to love their enemies. They're going to pray for those who persecute them. They're going to do good to those who mistreat them. And that's what Jesus calls you and calls me to do. And again, he says, what I'm asking you to do is not something that's impossible, because I'm going to empower you to do it. I'm going to model it for you. Think about Jesus. As he is dying on the cross, what does he do? He speaks words of forgiveness to one of the ones who is crucified there with him. And then he prays for those who are crucifying him. And he says, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. And so Jesus invites us to do what he has modeled for us to do, to pray for those who would position themselves as our enemies, to care for those who would mistreat us. And then Jesus says this. He says, this is who God is. God extravagantly loves the ungrateful. And God is kind, and God is gracious to the wicked. And so Jesus says, that's what you're supposed to be like. You're supposed to return good for evil. You're supposed to be kind to those who mistreat you. And Jesus, when he finishes all this, he leaves us with this incredibly challenging statement. He says, be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. What does that mean for us? It doesn't mean that you're never going to make a mistake. It doesn't mean that you're never going to fail. It doesn't mean that you're never going to get angry at someone when they mistreat you. What Jesus is saying is, he's saying, be mature, be complete, be made whole in me, so that you'll be able to love your enemies, so that you'll be able to imitate me, so that you'll be able to let me express my life through you. It's a completely different way of living. And it's a way of living that we can't achieve in our own strength. It's an invitation that requires us to depend on Jesus. Amen.